Now, on the line, we've got John Azuma. And Dr. Azuma specializes in Islam and Christian-Muslim relations, and he's interested in the Islamic and the Christian theology of religions, missions, missiology, and his current research area is world Christianity and Islam in the Global South. He's been in Australia speaking at a range of conferences across the country on Christianity and Islam. I actually heard him a fortnight ago. I was in the audience up at the Church Missionary Society conference up in Katoomba when he was addressing, I don't know, about 2,000 people. And the subject of the address was the five faces of Islam. John, good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks very much for talking to us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Well, now, when you spoke up in Katoomba a couple of weeks ago, we knew about the attack in Paris, but we hadn't heard about this awful atrocity in Nigeria. Well, it might have happened, but we weren't conscious of it over here in Australia. I just wondered if we could start by just saying, what do you make of this terrible incident in Nigeria?
Yeah, Nigeria is a really, really tragic case. It's a very, very depressing situation in the northeast of Nigeria. The militants seem to be attacking and killing and looting at will. The Nigerian military doesn't seem to be able to contain the situation. And it is very, very frustrating that even these militants now can even stoop so low, even beyond anything that we can even describe as inhuman, to use a 10-year-old girl, to strap a 10-year-old girl with a bomb. It's so, so depressing. But the bottom line of the Nigerian situation is that Nigerian security forces, the institutions are just crumbling. They are not up to the task. That is the biggest challenge we have in Nigeria.
John, I want to talk to you about Islam particularly, but first can we start by just getting a little bit of a sense of what was your journey from Islam to Christianity?
Yeah, well, I come from Muslim background myself, and I became a Christian in high school after I came into contact with a Christian student who really impacted me and challenged me with his Christian lifestyle. And that is how I became a Christian when I was 17, just about 10 and 18.
Tell us the process of your view of Jesus changing.
I began to have Bible studies. I went to Bible school myself. And I started reading the Bible like I would have read the Quran. I tried to memorize as much of the Bible as I could. And I had lots of questions. And the Scripture Union was very handy in helping me. And that is how my love and my deep affection and commitment to Jesus grew within the Christian faith, even before I went to seminary.
Now, you're at the moment lecturing on relationships between Christianity and Islam, and I heard you speak a couple of weeks ago on the five faces of Islam.
Yeah. Well, the five faces of Islam is to help Christians make sense of Islam, or non-Muslims in general, make sense of what is happening in the Islamic world today. And the five faces I talk about is the missionary faith. The missionary faith is the faith of Islam that seeks to make converts, that is very much evangelistic. It adopts Christian evangelistic and Christian missionary strategies and approaches and methods. And they are out there trying to evangelize across the world, including Africa, Asia, the Western countries. So the missionary faith of Islam is one of the faiths I talk about.
Yep.
And I talk about the mystical faith of Islam, which is the faith of Islam that is more spiritual, the Sufi, esoteric faith of Islam that deals with the very much with the supernatural, with dreams, with visions, with the spirit world.
Yep.
And that is one of the faiths of Islam, or the popular Islam, as we call it. And that the third phase of Islam I talk about is the ideological phase of Islam, the ideological or political phase of Islam, the phase of Islam that seeks to occupy the public sphere, the phase of Islam that seeks the implementation of the Sharia and seeks to have an Islamic state. That is the phase of Islam, as the political or ideological phase of Islam. And then the fourth phase of Islam is the militant phase of Islam. the militant face of Islam, is the face of Islam that really seek to achieve political ends through the use of violence and terrorism, basically. These are groups that we already know very well.
This is the Boko Haram and,
and all of these groups. And the fifth face of Islam that I talk about is what I call the progressive face of Islam. That face of Islam that seeks self-critical, it seeks to reread the Quran and other Islamic texts in light of present reality. So it is a much more self-critical face of Islam. And that is also a growing trend.
And you're saying it's growing, the progressive face, the group of Muslims that are, the, if you like, part of the progressive camp.
Yes, they are growing now, and they are becoming much more vociferous in light of all the attacks going on. They used to be, it's still a very targeted group. They cannot operate openly in many Muslim countries. So you find them in the West, you find some of them in Indonesia, leading Indonesian Muslim scholars are part of this space. You go to Turkey, you go to Egypt, you go to Sudan, South Africa, they are all over. But they used to operate discreetly, but now they are coming out in the open to speak. They are writing much more publicly now.
And you're saying these five groups, they're if you like, overlapping or concentric circles. They're not necessarily five discrete groups. You're not in one or the other.
Yes. They are actually, if you like, as you rightly said, they are concentric circles. I don't want to see them as boxes, because you have some of the militants who are also missionary. You have some of the missionary who are Sufi or mystical. And you have some of the ideological who can easily become militant.
But I guess your big point is you can't just lump them all together, and to do that is...
Absolutely, absolutely. And the bottom line is that all of these groups don't like one another. They are at each other's throat most of the time. And so to lump them all together, or to talk about Islam as if it is one monolithic entity, is to miss the point.
Now, you've been out here in Australia for probably 3 or 4 weeks now, speaking at different conferences around the place, and really trying to help Christians interact with their Muslim friends, both in terms of personally helping people to win friends to Christ, but also, I think, giving some advice on how we should, as a community, interact with the Muslim community, given these terrible events of the last few weeks. Yeah. What's your thought, reaction? How should Christians react to both what's gone on in France and what's gone on in Nigeria?
Yeah, my general take is that Christians need to be very wise in these circumstances, that we don't react in fear, we don't react with hatred, and we certainly don't react militantly. We have to support our faith, the nation faith, the government, to deal with this situation. That is what we elect them for. That is what we pay our taxes for. But we Christians need to be very careful that radical Islam does not radicalize us and make us just like the terrorists themselves, who are preaching hatred, who are preaching lies. But more importantly, as I said in Katuma and many of these other conferences, there's a proverb in my language which says that during difficult times, foolish people build walls and wise people build bridges. My hope is that we will have many more Christians who will try to build bridges rather than help the terrorists to build walls, because that's what the terrorists want to do. They want to build walls between communities, and we don't want to help them to do that.
John, thanks very much for talking to us tonight.
Thank you.
That's John Azuma there, and a very interesting man. He's been speaking at the Church Missionary Society conferences, the CMS conferences in the different capital cities of Australia, and I heard him a fortnight ago on this subject up at Katoomba, and thought fascinating. What's your take? 1300 13 1170 is our number.